The Nail Gun himself, Dave Naylor, in studio. Do you want to ask him if he created his own nickname?
Did you nickname yourself the Nail Gun?
No, this is a Dan O'Toole invention.
Okay. And in fact, you can't nickname yourself.
No, there's a bit of a story here, if you got, bear with me for a second.
Yeah.
I'm sitting at home one night, and I get an email from Dan, and it says, this is before they went to L.A. and had the Jay and Dan show when they were doing the regular Sports Center, as regular as it was when they do it. And I get an email from Dan one night, and it says, hey, do you mind if I call you the Nail Gun? And I didn't know he meant on air. I actually meant, I'm sitting there going, yeah, well, whatever. Yeah, sure, you know, that's fine. And then I get an email from one of our seniors here at TSN about 3 days later. And it says, and it's just a one-line email. It says, I'm assuming you haven't been asking people to call you the Nail Gun. Right? And I write back. I said no. I got this out of the blue email from Dan O'Toole, and he just asked me if he could. I didn't know if it was on air. I didn't know the context at all. And he said, "Well, that was nice of Dan to ask, but it sounds silly, so we're not going to do it."
Now, really, I like that nickname.
Well, now on the Jay and Dan show, they got a Nail Gun graphic.
Yeah,
this is the difference between.
Does it make the sound?
Like, oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it's and I got a construction hat and the silly grin. No, this is the before LA Jay and Dan experience versus the after.
Well, they're
LA
very different.
Yeah,
exactly.
Different so the Nail Gun thing, which has always been appropriate on radio, was not SportsCenter appropriate before they went to LA, but is now Jay and Dan appropriate.
Is that right?
Yeah. So there I did go. Not name myself.
Hmm. I didn't know that.
What now? Daron Carter nickname is he's DC Chillin, right?
Yes, he is.
He's an interesting character.
Is he ever?
Released by Saskatchewan this week for reasons that are...
Is it Terrell Owens? Like, is that what's happening here? Because that's what I want to see happen.
You no, want it's not. Owens it's not. Terrell
absolutely,
Owens.
I want
it's not Terrell Owens. No, Chris Jones, the head coach and general manager of the Rough Riders, and Terrell Owens are both alumni of UT Chattanooga. That's the connection that got him a workout when Jones happened to be home on a bye week and Terrell Owens was there for this Hall of Fame thing. That's not going anywhere. No.
So he's not coming up here?
He is not coming up here. Okay. No, I would be stunned. And even Jones told me at the time, he said he would have to come up and get on the practice roster. I mean, like, he's 2 years. I don't understand where this came from. Like, if this happened,
isn't he?
Like, Ocho Cinco came up here at 36, right? And couldn't play a lick in the CFL. And Terrell Owens has been out of football for, like, even preseason football for 7 years. Like, why didn't this happen in 2014? Why now?
I don't know why. Maybe he's back in the limelight because of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that was the workout video. It was the social media video that had him running the 4 or 5, 5 right. or whatever. That was what got it. You know, and look, legitimately so, Edmonton put him on their negotiation list. Like, they can't say we weren't interested if you do that.
So what's up here with Daron Carter? Then? Like, why did he get cut? That's what I don't understand.
Daron Carter was at Ohio State. He was at Alabama. He's been in the NFL, and he was at Montreal, and now he's been at Saskatchewan. I believe in every of one of those circumstances, it's similar. There's not one trigger incident here that, like, you know, oh, my goodness, we got it. It's that he's a very free-spirited guy. You know, doesn't necessarily practice the way coaches want him to. You know, just stuff that you would think of as not being a pro, like not always being paying attention,
mouthing off to
coaches more than teammates, even like stuff on the sidelines, that kind of thing. And it's that kind of stuff that has got him. You know, and that was the issue in Montreal. It's just stuff that's distracting for sort of a team sport. And in fact, I've learned in the last couple of days, part of the whole putting him on defense. Because people, you know, scratching their heads, like, why? It's because he was less distracting at practice on defense than offense. Because the timing of offense, right, is all about we got to be practicing the same speed. We all got to know what we're doing. Whereas you put him on defense, it's a more reactive position. And they felt he was more manageable as a defensive player than as an offensive player. So that was part of that as well. But, like, I don't think he's a bad guy. I think he's a free spirit. He likes to do things his own way. And he doesn't always follow the rules strictly as such.
So... where is he going to end up then?
I think he's going to end up in Montreal. Like, I think there's a chance he lands here. Jim Popp was not in favor of releasing him in Montreal 2 years ago when he was there. That was after Jim had been replaced as coach, but he was still technically the GM, but I think most of his power had been, he was on the way out. But you know a little bit about Mark Trestman.
I
would pay money to go to Argo practices and watch Mark Trestman coach Daron Carter.
And look, even if he could get over that mountain, you know Mark's view on players and social media.
Yeah.
Like, Daron Carter is probably the most active, most out there guy on social media in the league, which I think is great in this day and age. But Mark is not that guy. You know, he does not like players being way out there and sharing opinions and all that on social media. So I think that would be a hard mountain to climb. I don't think Hamilton's going to do it. I don't think BC is going to do it, even though they had internal discussions about it. I think he ends up probably back in Montreal where...
That'd be great. Manziel and Daron Carter.
Well, two guys that are huge personalities, two guys that attract a ton of attention, two guys who have lost opportunities in the past because they were considered too difficult to coach, and two guys who have something to prove. And look, Montreal is desperate, right? And again, a desperate move isn't always a bad move, but the Johnny Manziel trade, which I think was a good move, was a desperate move. And this would be, you know, in the same ilk, I would say.
They might be the most interesting 2-16 team in the history of the CFL.
1-18 in their last 19. When they play at home on August the 24th, which is their next home game, it'll be 54 weeks since they last won a home game.
54 weeks. That is brutal. Lost by 7 this past weekend, yeah. And that was like an accomplishment.
It was, and there were some, you know, some turnovers and that. They gave up like 600 yards, and Ottawa had some turnovers and some red zone trouble. But, you know, I thought, at least offensively, they played a smart game. They ran the ball a lot. They kept, as Davis Sanchez had predicted last week on SportsCenter, they kept a lot of extra protection schemes, you know, where they had fewer receivers and more guys in to protect. And Manziel, he missed a lot of throws by a bit. Like, the timing's still off, right? Like, you people really got to look at how he can throw the ball. And there were a lot of plays where you can say, man, that's just off. You know, like, maybe in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, that play, that's a complete play. Mm-hmm. I thought, you know, when he chose to run, he was good. And the other thing, too, I was actually in the stands of that game, which was, like, such an experience, because, like, there's not an empty seat in the place. Like, people are hanging off the rafters. It was absolutely packed on a beautiful night in Ottawa. And as an Argonaut season ticket holder...
Envious?
Oh, totally. Absolutely. You know, they've done it. And, the demographics are completely different. It felt like anybody who was anybody in Ottawa was there.
So
that's what it felt like.
So why can't... Like, I get the whole thing about Mark Trestman, and he likes things yep. buttoned down. He likes
right.
things bland.
Yep.
He likes things... He likes his players bland.
Yep. He'd be a great hockey coach.
You're in the biggest market. You're in the biggest market in the country. You're trying to sell tickets.
But that's not Mark's... That's not Mark's... job. I'm just going to finish my thought on Manziel. Sure. It's just how he, every time he left the field, no bad body language, right? Like, jogged off, onto the sideline, stood by himself, was engaged in the game. There was no kind of shoulders hunched, you know, head back. There was no, I saw him once go at some of his offensive linemen about a blocking scheme that had broken down. But I think, you know, when you're talking about a player in his history, that's important to kind of pay attention.
Everything counts.
Everything counts.
Him.
It does. Absolutely. But to your point, look, I did an insider on the Argo home opener last year saying the Argonauts will not be interested in trading for the rights to Johnny Manziel. And it was essentially like that's Mark Trestman doesn't want to deal with that guy. And Mark is, he's had trouble with guys who have been lower profile than Johnny Manziel, that he
for
didn't
sure.
like the way they were on social media and those kind of things. And I think that when he was brought in to coach, you know, the understanding was he'll get to coach the players that he wants to coach, and he doesn't have to coach the players that he doesn't want to coach. And that's just Mark's way. You know, he's a very between the white lines kind of guy, I think, in life. And that's who he is as a football coach. You know, and football coaches often have a lot of patience for, even in the NFL, right, for guys having big personalities and letting it out. And he's way more kind of the NHL genre than he is, you know, a football coach when it comes to the tolerance of that kind of
right.
stuff.
Right. Well, and that's always been the issue in the conversation here with the Argos is
yep.
that people look at it like, okay, how do you get people in the stands? How do you get people interested in the team? But to your point, Mark Trestman's job is not getting people in the stands. It's how many games can you win?
Right.
He won a Grey Cup last year in his first full
yep.
year. This year, who knows? I mean, the East is still wide open. They can
sure.
still get in and do damage, I guess. But now you've got MLSE who owns this team, and you know they can't. They've got to have a long-term vision of where they're going with this organization. I mean, Manziel, for me, would make a lot of sense because I think it would create a lot of interest, and I think the ownership would probably be all over that. But you can't sell your principles down the river. It's still a pro football team, and you're employing people to run it like a pro football team. So I understand why there's a chasm between maybe what ownership would want and what the coach is willing to put up with.
I agree.
It seems pretty obvious.
I think Manziel would have been a good play in Toronto because he's not like Ricky Williams, right? You're bringing him for a year, right? And he's not like a guy who's 36. And remember when he used to be great in the NFL? Like, he's 25 years old. He does have a chance to be the next Doug Flutie in this league. Like, legitimately so, if he can keep his life balanced. And he could be a long-term play. He could play in Toronto for 8-10 years. You know, he could, and he could revitalize and bring people to the park that would never otherwise go. So it, I understand exactly why people look at it and say, why not? But I agree. If as soon as you go down that road and that starts to be the priority, I think you're in a different kind of business.
Yeah, you are. And what probably happened is Trestman's like, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And then maybe Pop's out of here.
But you're not. I don't see why the two things can't be compatible. I don't understand why.
If ownership is making a call on player personnel?
No, I'm not saying that.
But
I'm
that's what it would be.
Could Johnny Manziel help the Argos?
What's your definition of help?
As a football player.
Yes, potentially, absolutely so.
Sure.
Yeah.
So then, if your reason for not getting him is the coach doesn't want to coach that kind of player, then you're not only thumbing your nose at the marketing department, you're thumbing your nose at the football department. You're saying that even though a guy could help our team, I don't want to coach him.
Well, he's ultimately doesn't want to coach him because he thinks that his negatives outweigh his positives, right? That's Mark doesn't want to have to worry about a guy being prepared, about a guy doing things the way he wants to do them. And he would know, like Mark Trestman would know people in the NFL where he could call and say, right, what was it like?
Mm-hmm.
And if what he heard isn't what he wants to hear, then he's going to have that prerogative to make
that. Bears and ask about Jay Cutler before he went there?
Well, maybe, but I mean...
But I guess what I'm saying, like, every team that's ever employed Ken Hitchcock has had this problem in the NHL.
Yeah.
He plays that stultifying, defensive, robot style, and your marketing department says, we can't sell this. Like, they do charge admission to go to these games.
The Devils, right? The Devils were boring.
They charge admission to go to these games. You're trying to sell tickets. That's part of your job is to create a product that is entertaining. Winning and entertaining.
Well, another thing is there's a GM that could make that decision. I mean, Jim Popp's got a factor in too.
He's the
guy who's the conduit between the head coach and ownership. So I would assume that Popp was on the same page as the head coach.
I think that Jim Popp would have gone down Johnny Manziel's road. But I think in every team in sports, the relationship between the general manager and the coach is different. I mean, there are teams where the GM can sign somebody and he's on the roster whether the coach likes him or not. Right? I don't think that's the relationship that Jim and Mark have. I think the understanding when Mark came up here, they've worked together before. You know, Mark has a very, you know, keen idea of the types of players he wants on his roster, and Jim, you know, is beholden to that. And that's not new. That's not like, what? I can't put anybody on the roster I want? No. That's their working relationship. That's the dynamic between them that I think has always existed, that worked in Montreal and obviously worked last year. But it does, I don't think it necessarily means they're always on the same page. Just knowing Jim Popp and knowing, having followed the way he does it, I think he would have been, you know, tantalized by the idea of a Johnny Manziel. But I also think when Mark didn't want him, Jim didn't go home and pound his fists on the table and say, I can't believe this. He just said, no, my coach, you know, that my coach doesn't want to coach.
We got to find someone else.
I'm picturing Mark Trestman running an invitational golf tournament and saying, yeah, I'm not inviting Tiger Woods. He's not in the top 40 in the world. But Mark, you know, he's the biggest, you know, he'll sell... No, but
coaches don't think that way.
I know they don't.
They don't think that way.
I know they don't.
This is not exclusive to football.
No, of course not.
Now, maybe if Tebow decides he's going to give up baseball, because Mark did, I believe, tutor Tebow, right?
When
in advance of the NFL draft.
Really?
Yeah. Like he worked with him one-on-one. So, hey, you know.
Tebow would create a stir for sure. That's the thing about Toronto. Dave Naylor's in studio. The thing about Manziel that a lot of diehard Argos fans don't want to hear, but it's a reality. A lot of people in the city couldn't name you an Argo, outside of maybe Ricky Ray, who's not playing right now. They just couldn't.
No, it's the absolute reality of
and
the
Manziel,
situation.
And Manziel, everyone could name Johnny
Manziel. And not just that, but the younger demo, right? Like, I'll tell you this story. It's almost like I staged it. But when I was at the CFL president's meeting in Banff, it was that day that his agent put out the letter, you know, blasting the Ticats and all that. Yeah. And I was doing, like, insiders in minus 32, you know, outside the Banff Springs Hotel. Well, that night, I go to dinner with a couple of team presidents, and I'm sitting at the corner of the bar in Earl's in Banff, and we're talking about Johnny Manziel, because one of the guys who was there was Scott Mitchell, the Ticats president. So he's right in the middle of this thing. And some guy, 25 years old, comes around the corner, sees me sitting on the corner of the bar and says, hey, I saw that insider report you did last night on Johnny Manziel. Man, I just want to say that if he does come to the CFL, there are a lot of people my age that will be way more interested in this league than we've ever been. I really hope it happens. And he walks off. And I look at Scott, you know, and I just say, wow. Like, it was almost like that guy was planted, right? But that's the reality. That's the way a lot of people look at the league. And, you know, that I think it's good that he's not in Hamilton, frankly, because Hamilton doesn't need him. Like, they're, you know, they've got a good following. The Ticats are filling that park. They've got a decent team. You know, he needs to be in Montreal, Toronto, or Vancouver, one of the places where, you know, the team, the league still is really struggling to stay and on the front page of the sports section.
And no one's struggling more than Toronto.
I know. Look, I agree with you. I'd love to have seen it happen. I would have loved to have seen it happen.
I think this, I mean, I'm sorry, I'm not saying the marketing department should run your sports team. I don't agree with that at all. I am saying that you sell tickets to these events. And I remember joking with Pat Quinn one time. Pat was complaining about the media in Toronto. I said, Pat, if you don't like it, go coach the Aurora Tigers. Like, no one will ever bother you.
Yeah, that's a great line.
It doesn't pay $2 million a year.
Yeah.
So that's the problem. So if you're standing there and you're the head coach of a football team and there's no one in the stands,
like, but that doesn't affect your payroll, though. It doesn't affect what you get paid. That I understand what you're saying.
It will eventually.
If you can kill two birds with one stone, that's ideal. And I totally agree with that. I was all over Manziel coming here. I think it would have been a slam dunk. But you also got to leave out the option that maybe Mark Trestman has called people and they've said he can't play. Okay. Like, it's not about his off-the-field stuff. It's not about his preparation. This guy can't play. So it's also not worth it to bring him in here because it's going to blow up in all of your faces because he can't play, so he's going to lose you a lot of games, and then you're going to ultimately lose your job as well because he's not going to win you any games. Where Trestman might look at it from a calculated perspective and say, this guy can actually help me win, whoever that is, whoever the quarterback's going to be, so I can keep my job, right? Like, if he wins games, you can't fire him because people aren't in the stands. If Trestman wins, which he just won a Grey Cup, how does ownership go to him and be like, I know you keep winning, but your style or your system is not putting people in the stands, so you're out.
Well, let's
That's
be
not going to happen.
Mark Trestman had the ability to probably make conditions of his employment that other CFL coaches don't, right? Like, he'd been in the CFL for 5 years in Montreal. He'd been highly successful. He'd gone and become an NFL head coach and then an NFL offensive coordinator before he was available again. And if you do the math on how much money he made in those 4 years, he doesn't have to coach again. So, like, if when Jim Popp calls him and says, hey, you want to come coach again in the Canadian Football League, Mark can say, I'll take that job, but here's what I need, this, and this. And a lot of other guys, you know, certainly don't have that kind of sway to call that shot before they take a CFL head coaching job.
It's a real push-pull. It happens all the time in other sports. I can tell you from the hockey perspective, right? You draft a guy first, second, third overall, the marketing department wants him in the lineup. But you got to sell that thing right now, right? Because,
and by extension, the owner, and that's what's really important.
So even if that guy shouldn't be in the NHL, even if that guy doesn't belong, you're putting him in to sell tickets.
Yeah, and you.
I'm not saying that's right. I'm not saying that's the way it should be.
Yeah,
but there does.
It's a reality.
Oh yeah, owners pay attention when the fans turn on somebody, especially in a gate-driven sport. The owners know it, and they don't want to see that guy anymore. Right, like they're absolutely.
Now, I'm not saying fans are turning on Trestman. I'm just saying that I think there's an accommodation here. I do think there's a middle ground.
Well, here would have been the middle ground, and as much as I could come up to try to find one that you say we're going to look. Ricky Rays at the end of his, like, the thing is the Argos were in the market for their next quarterback right at the time Johnny Manziel's coming available. Right, like
Ricky
they traded
Ray
for James
did not
Franklin.
Say no. He was coming back until late in the offseason.
And even if he was, and you said to Johnny Manziel, you say Ricky Ray's 38, he's been hurt every year the last 5 years for something. You're going to play some this year, and we see in 2019 you're our guy. I guess the middle ground would have been you say this is what we're going to do. We want you to buy into this and try and work with this guy. And the minute you tell us you don't think you can, we'll move on. We'll cut bait. Right, we'll trade whatever. We'll, you know, that would have been the middle ground, I guess.
That seems reasonable.
Yeah.
Yet Hamilton got him on the negotiating list, and then, you know, and maybe that's where the problem was. Maybe Toronto should have got there first.
The thing is, it was also hard to trade for Johnny because, unlike a lot of guys who are on the negotiation list who you know are going to come, if you trade for his rights in April and like do the timing on when he signed. It was like the night before training camp, right?
Right.
If 72 hours earlier, Sean Payton calls and says, we want you to come back, you know, back up Drew Brees, then you just traded for the rights of a guy who's
never going to play,
Got so that's the other thing that made it a little trickier. Is and that's why Montreal couldn't make that move in the offseason, right? Like a lot of people would say, why are they making that move in week seven?
Except he got traded by Hamilton.
Right.
Right. And the Argos could have been in on that.
They could, yeah, absolutely they could have been. Yeah.
And but they were not.
I don't think they were.
Like the fact they weren't even interested.
Yeah.
Speaks to the power of somebody, and it's probably Mark Trestman.
And you know what? You know, as much as you can quibble with this decision right now, Gord, if Johnny Manziel does keep his head on straight, and if he does sort of devote himself the way people hope he can, and he does become, you know, an elite quarterback in this league, that decision that you're quibbling with is going to look a lot worse than it does right now.
Big time. All right, Dave. Good seeing you, man. Thanks for sticking around and joining us in studio.
My pleasure, guys.
We'll see you again down the road.
All right, take care. Have a great show. Buddy. See ya.
There's Dave Naylor, our CFL insider, alumni of TSN Radio.
That was 21 minutes of Canadian Football League talk for Brian Hayes.
Crushing it. I got to be honest. I thought I brought the heat on that.
You did. You did. You brought your fastball.
Thanks,
it was
Dave.
Good.
Yeah, I thought I, you know, somehow we got back to the Argos and Manziel, which is really the only thing I'm actually interested in.
But to your point, if people can't name a player, like, look, the Raptors just won 59 games and fired the coach of the year. Why? Because they can't sell this program coming back. I mean, as much as you think they got to get better than anything else, they can't go back to the market, I don't think, and you don't think.
I think that was a part of it, for sure. We got to do something different or people are going to think it's too stale.
They can't go back to the market and sell this product again.
Yeah.
I think that's part of it. I'm not saying, like, and it's funny to say that because, I mean, it bugs me when the marketing department is telling your sports department what to do. That shouldn't happen. But they're part of the same group.
You know what makes it unique to Toronto is that in the CFL world, Toronto's a small town. Very small town.
Yeah.
That's the kind of conversation you hear out of small town. Out of Columbus with the Blue Jackets, to your point. Ken Hitchcock, this isn't going to work, man. We're Columbus. Are you crazy? We got to get people in the stands with, you know, Kansas City and in Major League Baseball or whatever it is. I don't think that is acknowledged enough that in the CFL world, the Argos are small town because people do not show up enough.
You go to Edmonton? People know who all the Eskimos are.
Of course. Rough Riders are superstars in Saskatchewan.
But to your point, like we talked about the Jays earlier. Vladdy Guerrero is going to sell tickets in Toronto next
100%.
Year.
100%. Bo Bichette would sell some tickets.
So if you're a Jays fan, why are you buying tickets for next year? Because you think Vladdy Guerrero might be there. Now, you might hold off until he makes the team, but he's going to sell you some tickets.
Mm-hmm. And Manziel would have had a tangible effect on the box office. I 100% believe
that.
For sure he would. Would it carry over if he's brutal? I don't know. I mean, that's one thing I will say, that Montreal's probably feeling a little bit eager here to get him comfortable and get him going, because the buzz of Manziel playing is going to lose its luster in a couple of weeks if they keep losing and he keeps looking kind of sluggish. At some point, he's got to get going and show some magic to keep people there. Similar to Tiger. Now, Tiger is amplified, obviously, times a million. But Tiger, at some point, had to give you something to be like, okay, now I have to watch because I finally believe he can do
something.
But
Manziel was better last week than he was the week before.
Got to keep improving.
He's new to the league. Give him six or seven starts.
Sure.
I mean, it's worth a shot. I mean, the Argos are 2-5.
You're preaching to the choir. I would have brought Manziel here in a heartbeat.
They're nowhere in the market. They're 2-5.
Yep. I would have brought him here in a heartbeat. And look, they're on their third-string quarterback now anyway. So I would have been all for bringing Manziel in, but I think that train has left the station. Now it's gone.
It literally left the station.
It's out of here.
It went to Montreal.
It's bypassing through Toronto, too, which is a pretty big troll job.